007 reporting for duty.
If I'm doing a fake movie, it's going to be a fake hit.
Smoke and mirrors, guys. Welcome to the movie factory.
How dare I? How dare you?
Okay, you seem normal.
It doesn't matter what I feel.
I'm Commander in Chief.
What if someone really good made a horror picture?
Happy Hunger Games.
That's as good as it's going to get. And it won't ever get that good again.
The movie news.
You stay classy, San Diego.
With Garrett Daly.
So, Garrett, we are starting with some Irish film news, and in particular, important news for those across the water who want to make movies here.
Exactly. It is the film tax incentive. It's known as Section 481. Accountants would know all about it.
It's an important one, though, isn't
it? It's very important because they've raised it from 28 to 32%, and they've amended the incentive so that non-European Union talent, including Hollywood actors and actresses, will now count as part of the qualifying expenditure. So that means they'll get nice tax incentives to film here. See, we need that. I mean, most countries actually have this now. They have, you know, a broad base of sort of tax incentives, have it in the UK. They have many European countries have it as well. But you have to have it there to compete. So it was brought in last week. It's now, you know, that increase is in place. And that's important. I mean, if you take the productions that we have, like, you know, Penny Dreadful and Vikings that are all shooting here, they're utilising this tax incentive. Of course, we had Star Wars filming and Michael as well. So, you know, you're going to see us sort of play as Ireland Inc., I suppose, goes and competes for you know, studio to be filled here so that foreign productions come and film and actually use it as a location. So
that's what we want.
That's exactly what we want, because it helps. You know, I mean, if you look back at the 90s and you looked at Saving Private Ryan and Braveheart and all those movies that came here, you know, the amount of experience that crews would have gotten, and of course, Irish talent as well, from being in movies like that, it enhances our own industry as well, which is small. It's a relatively small industry, so every now and again you need those movies, even if they are leap year.
Well, this is true. You have some movie dates for us.
Yeah, they're moving around the dates all the time with, I suppose, the big tentpole movies, and the third Planet of the Apes film was moved from its slot, but they've quickly replaced it with another film. This is for July 29, 2016. I'd love to be in a studio executive's office in Hollywood and look at their chart and say, right, 2016, 2017, 2018, what are we putting in there? The Jason Bourne franchise, which Matt Damon and director Paul Greengrass are rejoining forces on. That's what's been slotted in there by Universal Pictures. They've moved about a couple of other things as well, because Star Trek 3 opens up on July 8th in 2016 as well. So it's going to be a big blockbuster movies.
Very good. Now, what about Amazon Studios.
Amazon are silently building, you know, their own sort of catalogue of productions that they've become a studio in their own right. And they've got a whole load of pilots set for this year as well. They've got four dramas and two comedies on offer. Most notably, the remake of British black comedy series Mad Dogs, with Sean Ryan producing. Billy Zane is going to be starring in it. Ben Chaplin as well. They've got another high-profile pilot based on Philip K. Dick's Hugo Award-winning 1962 alternative history story called The Man in the High Castle. It's set 20 years after the Nazis in World War II. The US is now divided between Japan and Germany. Tensions between the two are mounting in the western half of the country. So that's, you know, his material has been obviously used a lot on film. But it just signals, I suppose, that, you know, it's not just the TV stations in the States now that are embarked on these pilots. You have Netflix and you have Amazon.
More and more competition all
more
the time.
More and more, and I suppose more product for us to enjoy, which is always good.
Here's an interesting one. Carrie Fisher is daughter of Debbie Reynolds, and they're coming together for an event.
Yes, it's the SAG Awards, and for this particular one, it's the Lifetime Achievement Award, the 51st Lifetime Achievement Award, which is going to her mother, Debbie Reynolds, and it takes place on January 25th, and she's going to be presenting it to her for her work, I suppose, in 50 motion pictures, two Broadway shows, two television series, as well as dozens of television cabaret concert appearances. What a career. And of course, we're going to be seeing Carrie Fisher herself later this year, reprising her role, the famous role of Princess Leia in Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Always so an interesting mom relationship there, isn't it?
Look out for YouTube clips of that, because, you know, Carrie Fisher's a brilliant writer, so she will write, I'm sure, a very very good intro speech to present her with
exactly.
that award.
Well, of course, we are hotting up for all the various award seasons and award ceremonies. So what Oscar news have you for us?
Well, I suppose the thing to flag is that the Oscar nominations will be out on January 15th. That's Thursday morning. They do it very early in Hollywood so that the world's press can jump onto it. It's usually about 5:30 in the morning. It's the 87th Academy Awards. It's going to be hosted by Neil Patrick Harris.
I think he's a good choice.
Yeah, good choice. I mean, you know, because you know, he's witty. He
can sing. He can dance. He can do everything.
He can dance. That's exactly what you want from a show like that. So I suppose it's over to the likes of us to sort of say, whoa, what's going to happen? Who's going to be in that list? It's a tough one.
It's a very tough one. We've been talking a lot about the Best Actor category because it's extraordinary the amount of talented performances this year from Benedict Cumberbatch to Timothy Spall to Eddie Redmayne to we'll be talking about him later, Steve Carell and Foxcatcher. I think that's going to be the most tricky one to choose. I can't choose at the moment, having seen the films themselves.
The director category is tough. The Best Picture is easier because they have 10 nominations now, so you can pretty much throw them all in there.
Nobody's nose will be able to join.
No. Do you know what was interesting though? I was looking at the critics for Variety. They were picking their choices ahead of it to see what they thought, and Calvary was actually popping up quite a bit in their choices, and Brendan Gleeson's name was mentioned. You know, it kind of died away recently.
Kind of buzz around it.
But I suppose there's one thing about Oscars. Sometimes it throws up that surprise that the others don't go for. And I just wonder, maybe because when you see them doing that, and remember everyone's handing in their slips and putting in their voting and they're influenced by what they see. Now, I haven't seen any advertisements for it. Normally, you know, the studios need the big guns out and, you know, vote for your consideration, vote for it. But it could, you just don't know. One that is actually kind of maybe on the horizon is the animation Song of the Sea. This is Tom Moore's movie, because I have seen some advertisement for that. IndieWire had actually identified him earlier in the year, saying maybe that movie might get a nomination, which
That'd
would be great.
Super,
that's Cartoon Saloon. They're based in Kilkenny, and would be super if
Very
they got
good.
A bit
well, of
a
course, meanwhile, tomorrow night we might get a little inkling about what will happen through the Golden Globe Awards. They're always quite fun, of course.
They are.
Everyone chills out a bit.
Well, it's a boozy event. That's the thing. It takes place at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. It's a bit more relaxed. Yes, they have the red carpet event, but when they get in there, they're kind of sitting.
They kick back a bit.
They kick back, and it's it's a little bit more chilled. You've got it presented again by Tina Fey and Amy Poehler
together.
I think it's probably the last time that they'll be doing it. But they've, you know, they've announced a great list of presenters: Amy Adams, Robert Downey Jr., Anna Faris, Salma Hayek, Gwyneth Paltrow. I mean, they've got the big names out to do it. You've got that combination as well of television and the big TV shows. And we know, of course, that that is so worthy now of, you know, awards. So it'll be interesting to kind of watch it. But I just have a sneaky feeling Oscar. Do you know what? I've just gone back to Oscar. I saw someone mention Michael Fassbender for Frank. You know, that film has sneakily kind of gone along. I wonder, would he get a Best Supporting for that?
Ooh.
Don't know. That's just the Irish interest. You just might see it.
Can't wait to see. Excellent. Okay, so Thursday for the nominations for the Oscars, Golden Globes tomorrow night. Trailer watch. What trailer should we check out online?
Well, I picked this one because it's slightly funny. There's the first trailer for it. It's a movie called Accidental Love, the politically themed romantic comedy starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Jessica Biel, which was originally called Nail. Now, there's an interesting story to this, because David O. Russell of American Hustle and Silver Lining Playbook's fame, he helmed much of the film. But the film is kind of now a little bit famous for being one of the most troubled productions in recent history, because he shot the film in 2008, but numerous issues with financing led the project to being scrapped before the key scene of The Nail, which I'll come back to in the storyline in a second, was filmed. And now the producers have sort of taken over, because Russell left the project in 2010. Producers have taken control. And they've finished the film, and his name's not on it. So it's going to have a limited VOD release, it's going to have a VOD release and a limited theatrical release on February the 20th.
We were just saying last week that Jake Gyllenhaal is making very interesting movie choices at the moment. How does the trailer look?
Well, it looks fine. I mean, the story is about a shy small town receptionist who has a nail accidentally shot into her head by a clumsy workman at a restaurant.
Wow.
As she goes on a crusade to Washington to fight for the rights of the bizarrely injured, and meets this congressman played by Gyllenhaal who takes advantage of her.
That's an interesting pitch.
You ask what it's like. I don't know. Check it out yourself.
Okay, I will.
When I watched it, and I thought, this is the new David O. Russell movie. It's a bit odd.
Okay. Accidental Love. Check it out online. Yeah. The trailer is available. Now, new releases. We mentioned it earlier. Foxcatcher. This is Steve Carell.
This is Steve Carell, Channing Tatum in it as well. This one is definitely going to be in the Oscar list for Best Picture, no doubt. But it's based on true events. It tells the dark and fascinating story of the unlikely and untimely tragic relationship between an eccentric multimillionaire and two champion wrestlers. Here's a bit of a clip.
Do you have any idea why I asked you to come here today?
No.
No. Well, Mark, do you have any idea who I am?
No.
If some rich guy calls you on the phone. Well, I'm a wrestling coach, and I have a deep love the sport of wrestling, and I wanted to speak with you about your future, about what you hope to achieve. What do you hope to achieve, Mark?
I want to be the best in the world. I want to go to Worlds and win gold. I want to go to the 88 Olympics in Seoul and win gold.
Good. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, that is Steve Carell in Foxcatcher. He is super in it. And I think that clip gives a good idea of just how sort of slow and awkward this film is. It dragged a little for me, I have to say, but it's certainly worth seeing for Steve Carell. Great to see him playing against Typeguard, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, he's kind of not recognisable at first.
Yeah.
That's Steve Carell.
I know.
You know, no, good role for him, yeah. And Channing Tatum as well. Moving on, we've got Into the Woods with Meryl Streep and James Corden, Emily Blunt as well, and Taken 3. He's back again. Neeson as Brian Mills. Yeah, this is probably to finish off the series, but his wife is murdered and he's blamed for it, and off he goes again.
Yeah, so, I watched most of Taken again the other night. It's just fun, isn't it? Alright, what TV movie should we check out?
Okay, well, I liked his movie The Homesman recently.
Yes.
This is Tommy Lee Jones, which he directed. Maybe Hilary Swank might get a couple of nominations for that. She's very good.
She's super in it, yeah.
But Monday night on TG Carher, The Three Burials of Melquiad Estrada. This was a Western he made in 2005. I really liked it. Mm. Nice film. Barry Pepper's in it as well. But he's good behind the camera, Tommy Lee Jones. We know what he's like in front of it, and he's in this as well. So maybe check it out. T.G. Carher, always good for the Westerns.
They
would
are,
you like
they?
This one? 9:30 Monday night.
Monday night,
yeah,
okay.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Garrett.
Thank you.